الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في الديوث باب ما جاء في الديوث The chapter about that which has come regarding the dayyuth. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's clarifying in this chapter the major sin. The major sin of the issue of ad-diyatha. Ad-diyatha. And this is whenever a man, he will have no honor and he will have no shame with regards to his family. Specifically the women from his family, those under his care, and that he will allow them to commit fahisha, that he will allow them to commit actions of indecency with others without any care and concern. And this is from the major sins, and this is from the great weakness. The great weakness is in faith, and the weakness in the religion, and the weakness in the heart of a person, that he would seep to the level that he will not have any honor for himself and for his family, and that he would allow them to commit actions of indecency and to commit actions of fornication and the deeds that lead to that, mixing with the men freely without having any care or concern for the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla and for the honor and the reputation of his family and household, without having any ghira for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and for the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jalla and for the women under his care specifically. For the women under his care specifically, he will leave them to follow their desires and to leave the house unnecessarily and to leave the house not covered properly and to leave the house and to go mix in public freely with the men and to take boyfriends and to have companions from the males and so on and so forth and to fall into fahisha, waliyadhu billah, the one who affirms this and allows this, he's aware of this and he knows about this from his own family, and he does not make any effort to stop them. He does not make any effort to stop them or to reprimand them or to prohibit them or forbid them. Then this is considered a diyatha, and this man is considered a dayyuth. And if that, he'll be pleased with that, and he would allow that. That he'll be pleased with that or allow that. And even more severe and even more lowly are those individuals who not only do they allow that, and not only are they pleased with that, but they encourage that and they assist their family members upon that way, well, and the women under their care upon that way. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. And this is from a great weakness in the religion and a weakness in the issue of al-ghira and having a sense of honor and respect and jealousy for the commandments of Allah, and likewise for one's own family and household and for the women under his care. So the author, he says, عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما مرفوعا, that it has been narrated from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة, ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة, that there are three individuals, they will not enter paradise. There are three individuals, they will not enter paradise. العاقل والديه والديوث ورجلة ورجلة النساء ورجلة النساء. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's mentioning a great threat and a warning here. Three individuals, they will not enter the paradise. We see that this is from the text of the threat of the anger of Allah and the punishment of Allah azza wa jal. And this text here is understood like all of the texts that have come with regards to the threat of the punishment. Whether it's a text where the faith is being negated, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, for example, this, that which has preceded, or la yu'minu ahadukum hatta, and one of you, he doesn't believe until this or that, أو قد بريت منه ذمة, or ليس منا, أو ليس مني, all of these terms here, all of these words here, لا يدخل الجنة, حرم الله عليه الجنة, all of these texts here that have these similar meanings, so on, so he'll be prohibited from the paradise. He will never enter paradise, so on and so forth. If this is an action that is lesser than major shirk and lesser than major disbelief, and this is from Nusus al-Wa'id, the text with regards to the threat of the punishment and the anger of Allah for the people of al-Tawheed. And so all of these texts are understood in the same light. No matter how the term has come, No matter how the term has come, laysa minna, he's not from us. Bariyat minhu adhimma, wa ana bari'un minhu, wallahu bari'un minhu, or I'm free from him, or he is not from us, or he does not believe, or he will not enter paradise. All of these terms here, and all of these expressions here, whenever they're used with regards to actions that are lesser than major disbelief, then they have the same understanding. And that is after gathering all of the text in these issues. After gathering all of the text in the issues of creed and who will enter paradise and the likes like this and the promise of paradise and the promise of the mercy of Allah along with the threat of the hellfire and the threat of the punishment and the anger of Allah. After gathering all of these texts together and looking at them at one text, then the people of the Sunnah, they have arrived to the truth and to the clear path that anyone who dies upon faith, anyone who dies upon faith and he has the mustard seed of faith in his heart, then he went into paradise. Then he will enter paradise. But the people who enter paradise, they do not enter the same. There are those who enter paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. There are those who enter paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment. And they are the ones who fulfill the obligations of their faith. That is by establishing the commandments and fulfilling them and performing them daily in a manner that is prescribed, hoping for the reward of Allah. And likewise, there are those who avoid and stay away from the prohibitions entirely. They avoid and stay away from the prohibitions entirely out of fear of the anger and the threat of the punishment and the hellfire. These are the ones that will enter paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. And these people, likewise, they're different levels and in different ranks. Some of them have a higher rank and a higher status. Some of them have a higher rank and a higher status in this life and in the hereafter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point is that those who fulfill the obligations of their faith from the believers, they will enter paradise without any punishment. Without any punishment. They will enter paradise without any punishment. We ask Allah from His grace to make us and our family and loved ones from them. The other category of the believers who will likewise enter paradise, there are those who have violated some of the rights of their faith by not fulfilling the obligations properly, being negligent with regards to fulfilling the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, or by perpetrating and committing some of the major crimes without repenting and dying upon this manner. These are the ones who are threatened with the punishment and the fire. But although they are threatened with the punishment of the fire, their faith, even if it is small, or even if it's something that is little in their heart, but it is present, it will be a means to protect them from abiding in the fire for eternity. From abiding in the fire for eternity. And one of the greatest evidences amongst many which clarify this is the hadith of the Shafa'ah, the hadith of the intercession that will occur on the day of resurrection. And that Allah, He will say, go into the fire and take out anyone. And after the people have been held accountable, and the reckoning has been established, there will be individuals from those who believed, from the people of At-Tawheed and the people of Al-Iman, they will be in the fire. Some of them will be in the fire for their sins as a means of punishment and as a means of purification and cleansing, because no soul enters the paradise except for a soul that is طَيِّبَ إِلَّا نَفْسٌ طَيِّبَ مُسْلِمَ مُؤْمِنَ, a soul that is pure. So those people who die with faith but their souls are tainted with sins, then they will be purified in the hellfire if Allah did not pardon them and forgive them in the beginning. So these people, it will be said about them, go into the fire. The angels will be told, go into the fire and take out anyone who has a mustard grain seed of faith in his heart, any the smallest amount of faith in his heart. So this is the case here, and this is the creed of Ahl Sunnah. So this text, and likewise all of the texts that are similar to this that have preceded, and the likes of this, and the likes of this work that we have been studying with regards to the threat of the punishment for the believers, what is intended here is a threat, and they are under the will of Allah if they die in that manner. They are under the will of Allah if they die in that manner. The individuals asked questions previously about the narration of the amanah, what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned, that individual who betrayed the amanah, that he will continue to chase after that and try to repay that in the hereafter, yani for eternity. But what is intended here, yani, is understood in the light of that which has been mentioned now. And if a person, he betrayed the amanah in a manner that will be considered disbelief, waliyadhu billah, or hypocrisy in faith, truly, and from the people with regards to the amanah, there are those who uphold that, those who uphold that inwardly and outwardly. And then likewise, there are those who pretend or make it apparent that they uphold that outwardly, but they betray it inwardly, meaning they're pure hypocrites. And then there are those who deny it entirely, and they are the mushrikun and the kufar. They do not uphold the amana, not inwardly nor outwardly, meaning the amana of faith. The amana of faith in the shahadatain. And this is likewise clarified in that verse in Surah Al-Ahzab. After Allah, He mentioned that He had presented and offered the amana to the heavens and the earth and to the mountains, and they refused to accept that, and the human being, he had accepted that. And then Allah, He clarifies the reason why, mentioning those three categories with regards to the amana. So if a person, he betrayed the amana in a manner that was considered disbelief, then he will abide for eternity in the hellfire. But if he betrayed the amana in a manner that was lesser than disbelief, then he is under the threat like the rest of these texts here. For example, the hadith of Hudhayfa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has proceeded with regards to backbiting and carrying tales. لا يدخل الجنة قتات. The person who was a slanderer, he will not enter paradise. This is from the text of the Wa'id. This is from the text of the threat. Likewise here, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ. Three individuals, they're not going to enter paradise. Three types of individuals, they're not going to enter paradise. Meaning if these people that were doing this, they were non-Muslims, then they will never enter paradise. This is the understanding with regards to all of the texts. And if they were Muslims, then they do not deserve to enter paradise with those who enter without any reckoning. Rather, they are under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal and facing His threat. And this likewise has been clarified in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took an allegiance with them. And from that is that they will fulfill the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about those who had fallen into some of that or violated some of those rights, and it was not taken care of in this life. It was not repaid or expiated in this life. فَهُوَ تَحْتَ الْمَشِيَّةِ فَهُوَ تَحْتَ مَشِيَّةِ اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ وَأَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. If Allah wills, no one who has committed major sin and violated the major rights, the major sacred rights of Islam, and he died without repenting, then he's under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will punish him according to his sins, a punishment of cleansing and purification. And if Allah wills, He will pardon him and forgive him and enter him into paradise. But in any case, the one who dies upon faith, then even if he's punished in the hereafter, even if he enters the hellfire, he will not enter the way that the disbelievers enter, and he will not be punished in the manner that the disbelievers are punished, and he will not abide in there the manner the disbelievers they abide. As for the disbelievers, mahum bi kharijina min an-nar, they will never leave the fire. As for the believers, then they will be punished according to their sins, a punishment of cleansing, some of them more severe than others. Some of them more severe than others. Some of them will be punished, and they'll be burned until they're nothing but coal, and from the punishment. But they will eventually be taken out of the fire by the grace and the mercy of Allah, and by the favor of the faith and the iman that Allah blessed them with in their heart, and they will enter the paradise. So this is the same understanding with regards to all of the texts. Any text that we see like this, where there's a threat of the hellfire or the anger of Allah, or that he will not enter paradise, they're all understood in the same light. On the other hand, likewise, the text with regards to the entering paradise, whoever does such and such, then he will enter paradise. For example, مَنْ كَانَ أَخِرُ كَلَامِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever his last statement in this life was the statement لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, he will enter paradise. So this is an absolute text likewise, but there are other texts restricting this understanding, meaning that he knows what it meant, meaning that he was sincere with that, meaning that he fulfilled the obligations of that, meaning that he established the rights of that, not simply just saying it with his tongue only. So this is something likewise that's understood on the other hand as well. So in the book and in the sunnah, there are texts with regards to the promise of the mercy of Allah, with regards to the promise of the favor and the bounty and the blessing of Allah, with regards to the forgiveness of Allah. This is all restricted for those who take a path to His mercy, those who take a path to His forgiveness, those who act in a manner that will bring about that for them by the mercy of Allah. And likewise, with regards to the punishment of Allah as well, the same understanding. So Ahl Sunnah, they're moderate in this affair. As for the Murji'ah, they're the ones who rely upon those texts of the mention of the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah, and they have high hopes like this, and then they commit sins and they violate the commandments of Allah like they're nothing, and then they say, oh Allah, He's the most forgiving and merciful. And this is a foul and a bad understanding, and that will not benefit them if they do not take a path of obedience to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, by obeying Him and by obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, on the other extreme, there are those individuals called the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, and they are also known as Al-Wa'idiyya, the people who have relied upon the text of the threat, and therefore it has caused them to declare the believers and the Muslims who fall into major sins to be disbelievers, to be disbelievers. So as for Ahl Sunnah, then they look at these texts, all of them, with regards to the promise of the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness, and to the admittance into paradise and the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, along with all of the texts with regards to the punishment of the hellfire and the threat for those who disobey and disregard the commandments, and they gather between all of them and understand the truth, and they see that anyone who died upon disbelief without any faith, then he will never enter paradise, and anyone who died upon faith, then that faith will benefit him, and if that faith was strong and proper and correct, then he will enter paradise without any punishment. And if that faith was weak and he died upon major sins, then he is under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will punish him according to his sins and then admit him into paradise. And if Allah wills, He will forgive him in the beginning with those who are forgiven and shown mercy. And this is the proper creed and belief. So the author, he's saying now, the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma marfu'a, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Three types of people, they will not enter paradise. They will not enter paradise, meaning if they are disbelievers in this affair, they will never enter paradise. But if they perform these affairs while they were believers and they die before repenting, they will not enter paradise with those who enter without punishment. Or they do not deserve to enter paradise with those who will enter without punishment, and they will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. We understand this point? Anytime one of these issues comes, we should be able to answer that question. And it should not be strange for us, or it should not be a problem for us, or it should not be a doubt for us. Any text that has come with regards to the threat of the punishment for the people of faith, this is how you understand. This is how you understand. Whether the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wallahi la yu'min, I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. Doesn't mean he's not a Muslim, because the issue here is about harming the neighbor. So harming the neighbor doesn't take somebody out of Islam. So the faith is being negated, but it's not the foundation of the faith, it's the completion of the faith, the perfection of the faith, the obligation of faith, that which will be a means to save a person from the punishment of the hellfire. From the punishment of the hellfire. We understand this. Likewise, laysa minna, he's not from us. Doesn't mean he's not a Muslim. He's not from us. Doesn't mean he's not a Muslim, and he's not from us, not from us. He's not, meaning he's not from those who are fulfilling the obligations of faith, who deserve to enter paradise without any punishment. Without any punishment. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Now one of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So if somebody did not do that, it doesn't mean that he's not a Muslim. It means that his faith is weak. It means that his faith is weak, meaning he has committed a major crime and he has not fulfilled the obligations of his faith, and he's exposed to the threat and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he does not deserve to enter paradise with those who enter without reckoning. We understand? لا يدخل الجنة ثلاثة لا يدخل الجنة العاق العاق لوالديه. Three types of people, they will not enter paradise. The one who is disobedient to his parents. So this is an indication that's a major sin, not an indication that he's a disbeliever. We understand this. Not an indication he's a disbeliever. If it was a Muslim who disobeyed his parents and he was rude to his parents or harsh to his parents, disrespectful to his parents, this is a sign that's a major sin. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that he will not enter paradise, meaning he does not deserve to enter paradise without punishment. Rather, he's under the threat of Allah. Rather, he's under the threat of Allah. He deserves to be punished. This person deserves to be punished. The one who betrays the amanah, he's going to chase after that for eternity. That's what he deserves. That's what he deserves. But if he's a believer, the rest of the texts clarify that with his faith, likewise, he deserves to leave the hellfire if he's punished there. If he's punished there, he doesn't deserve to abide in there for eternity. He doesn't deserve to abide in there for eternity. So these texts, all of them, they're understood in the same light. Al-aqu liwalidayhi, the one who is disrespectful and disobedient to his parents. And the author, he mentioned a chapter regarding this, what day youth, and this is the shahid. The day youth, they youth again يعني الرجل الذي يقر الفاحشة في أهله يقر الفاحشة في أهله. The day youth is the one who allows his family, his family, meaning his women, the women under his care, his wife or his daughters, and the likes to fall into fahisha and indecency, to fall into fornication and to mix freely with men, and to expose themselves, yani to the public in this manner like this. He's called day youth, and this person, he's under the threat here of not entering paradise, an indication, as the author is mentioning here, that it's a major sin. وَرَجُلَةُ النِّسَاءِ وَرَجُلَ النِّسَاءِ. We have the word رَجُل. What does that mean? رَجُل means a man. Type the word Muslim. What does that mean? Muslim. He's a Muslim man, huh? How do you make it feminine? مُسْلِمَةٌ. Type the man, he's صالح. How do you make it feminine? صالحةٌ. So you say the رجل صالح. And you say the المرأة صالحة. صالحةٌ. Like this. Everybody knows in the Arabic language, if you want to put the ta المبوطة on the end of a noun, it turns it into feminine. So if you're talking about a man, you say, for example, صالحٌ or مُسْلِمٌ. If you're talking about a woman, you say صالحةٌ or مُسْلِمَةٌ. Like this with the ta on the end. Here, it's mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, rajulatun nisa, putting the ta mabuta on the word rajul. What does that mean? Rajulatun nisa, yani al mutashabbiha bil rijali min al nisa, the woman who imitates the men, the woman who imitates and acts like a man. She thinks she's a man. She carries herself like a man. She dresses like a man. She has her hair like a man. She speaks like a man. She moves like a man. All of this here is a major sin. She's from those here that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said she will not enter paradise. Wa rajulatun nisa, any of the woman who imitates the men. Rawahu fil mustadrak wa at-Tabarani bi sanad qala al-Mundhiri لا أعلم فيه مجروحة. That this has been narrated in al-Mustadrak, meaning by al-Hakim, and by al-Tabarani, with the chain that al-Mundhiri, he says that he does not know anyone in this chain, in the chain of this narration, who has been criticized, meaning that the narration, inshallah, is accepted. قال رحمه الله قريبا منه وفيه فمديوث. And he's similar to this narration here, and it's mentioned that the companions, they said رضي الله عنهم, what is the dayuth? يعني what is the meaning or the interpretation of the word الديوث؟ قال الذي لا يبالي بمن دخل على أهلي. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, the dayuth, he's the one who does not care who enters upon his family. What is intended by his family here, specifically the women under his care, he does not care who mixes with his women. His women, they mix freely with whoever they like, and he's speaking to the men freely. He does not have any concern or care for that. He doesn't stop them. It doesn't bother him. It doesn't make him become upset or jealous or have any type of ghira in his heart or sense of honor and respect. Rather, he leaves his women to mix and to talk and to speak with whomever they want. To talk and to speak with whomever they want and to have relationships with whomever they want from the men. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a foul way and a major sin to allow that, and to permit that, and to be satisfied with that, and to like that. Worse than that is to encourage that, and to put their daughters or their women in that situation, and to place them there. This is a major sin. This is a major sin. لا يدخلون الجنة. يعني ثلاثة ثلاثة لا يدخلون الجنة. الشاهد هنا الديوث. 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 From the obligations of faith, and from the great fundamentals of the deen, is to have ghira. In the heart there be ghira, which is governed by the faith. It's governed by the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that he has a sense of honor, a sense of respect and jealousy for, and it's a type of jealousy that is praiseworthy. Jealousy for the limits of Allah. And likewise to have jealousy for his family members and for the women under his care, that he would not allow the people who are not allowed to look at them or speak with them or talk with them or have a relationship with them. He will not allow that. He will not allow that. He will forbid that. He will prohibit that. His faith in his heart will cause him to stand up for his honor and for his reputation and the honor and reputation of his family and stop that. And he will stop that. He will have ghira azima in his heart. A believer, he will have a great, great sense of honor, a great, great sense of respect for his own reputation as a believer, as a Muslim, and likewise his family, especially the women. Especially the women. As we see here, this is from the obligations of faith. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the youth, he's the one who doesn't care. He doesn't care who his family, who enters upon his family, meaning who mixes with his family, who talks to his family, who talks to his women, who talks to his daughters, who his daughters are mixing with and talking with, who they're chatting with on the Facebook and on the different means, who are their friends, taking boyfriends and having companions from the males and the likes like this. Even worse and even more severe and even more lowly if they're not even Muslims. They're disbelievers. They're disbelievers. What do you have to be like? It said, what is the rajula? What is the rajula? They're asking, what is the rajula? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala allati tashabbahu birrijal. Allati tashabbahu birrijal. Tashabbahu yani tatashabbahu. Bihadfi ta al-mudara'a. Bihadfi ta al-mudara'a. Tashabbahu birrijal. The rajula is the woman who imitates and acts like the men. Yani in her manners, in her conduct, in her speech, in her walk, yani the way she carries herself and the likes like this, the likes of this person is cursed. Likewise, it's been narrated by Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, and other than him likewise, the narration about this affair is well known. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la'ana al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-mukhannathina min al-rijali wal-mutarajilat min al-nisa. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he cursed the men who imitate women. He cursed them. He cursed the men who imitate women. Meaning this is a major sin for a man to act like a woman, or to dress like a woman, or to walk like a woman, or to talk like a woman, to be feminine, and the likes like this, and to be weak in that manner, in the manner of a female. And to be weak like that in front of individuals. This is all a foul way. This is all a major sin for a man to act like that. Rather, a man, he has a rujula. He has manhood. He should have manhood, muru'ah. He should have manhood, and he should be upright, and he should be strong. And he should not be weak like this and break down in his voice, breaking his voice and speaking like a woman. It's not allowed to dress like that, or to walk like that, or to act like that, or to talk like that. None of this is allowed. Rather, it's a major sin. Wa al-mutarajilat min al-nisa. Likewise, the women who act like men, the women who act like men. And as has preceded the issue with regards to the amana being lost and disappearing, and the faith becoming weak, and the affairs and life becoming turned upside down, to where that which is foul and wicked, and that which is disgusting and lowly, is considered good and praiseworthy. Good and praiseworthy, that's what we see today. Many of those people who act like this, the women who act like men, and they cut their hair like men, and they walk like men, and they wear pants like men, so on and so forth, they're praiseworthy in the eyes of many of the society. And they're considered, yani, from the best of the people. Waliyadhu billah. And likewise, the men who act like women and the likes like this, many times they have a high status in the hearts of some of the lowlifes. Waliyadhu billah. Because of the affairs being turned upside down, and because of the moral trust and honesty and the good conduct and manners and proper understanding has been tainted. Waliyadhu billah. So this is something that we see in these days. Men imitating women. Men imitating women. Even men claiming now that they're women, some of them. And even this is something has not only any happened in society in this manner, but rather the teachers in the public schools are like that now. There are teachers in the public schools who are like that now. He's a man, but he says he's a woman. And they won't allow some of the schools, they won't allow for them to say Mrs. or Mr. anymore. Because it's known in the customs of the society here that the students, they call their teacher Mr. And the students, they call their teacher Mrs. like this, Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so. This was the customs whenever we're growing up in school, that you call your teacher Mr. and that you call your teacher Mrs. like this. You had teachers like this, but now they're trying to say you can't call him Mr. or Mrs. because some of them, they get offended by that. Because he's a Mr., but he thinks he's a Mrs. So he doesn't want to be called Mr. He's offended by that. Wadiyadhu billah. And this is where the kids, they're going to learn to learn their life, to learn their way of life and their manners, and to learn how to understand this world. Wadiyadhu billah. So this is something that's a major sin. And a major sin likewise is to allow the likes of that person to raise a Muslim child. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. All of you are guardians, and all of you are going to be held accountable for those under your guardianship and under your care. After this, the author says, "Babu ظلم المرأة." The chapter with regards to oppressing the woman. The author, he says, أخرج الطبراني بسند رجاله ثقات أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: أيما رجل تزوج امرأة على ما قل من المهر أو كثر وليس في نفسه أن يؤدي إليها حقها خدعها، فمات ولم يؤدي إليها حقها لقي الله يوم القيامة وهو زان. وهو زان. The author, he mentioned a narration that is collected by al-Tabarani with a chain that all of its narrators are considered reliable. That all of its narrators are considered reliable. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any man who marries a woman and he marries a woman with the agreement to pay her the dowry, no matter how small or large it may be, no matter how small or large it may be, and in his heart he does not intend to pay that, and in his heart he does not intend to pay that, then he has deceived her. Then he has deceived her. And then if he died in this manner without paying her her right, without giving her her right, then he will meet Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of resurrection, وَهُوَ زَانٍ وَهُوَ زَانٍ يعني, and he's a fornicator. Meaning he'll have the punishment as if he had fornicated. Yani from denying this right and from taking pleasure in this woman in this manner, along with denying this right. Along with denying this right. So we see that this is a major sin. We see that this is a major sin. This is a great threat here, that a person, he will carry the sin, will bear the sin of fornication. Yani he'll be punished in a similar manner like that. This is a great threat. This is a great threat. He married a woman and he agreed to pay her a dowry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, قَلَّ مِنَ الْمَهَرُ أَوْ كَثُرُ, regardless of how much it may be, a small amount or a large amount, even if it's something very small. But in his heart, he's not going to pay that. He did not intend to pay that. He did not intend to pay that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he has deceived her. And then if he died without paying her her right, without giving her her right, then he will meet Allah azza wa jalla in this manner. He will meet Allah azza wa jalla in this manner as if he is a fornicator, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is from the rights of the woman, that she receives her dowry. And there's a number of violations here. From the greatest of them, and from the worst of them, is that he betrayed her. And this is an act of treachery, that a person, he would agree to get married to a woman who was looking to have a husband to help her and to enjoy life with and to fulfill the rights together with. And then in his heart, he does not even intend to give her her right. And then in his heart, he does not even intend to give her her right. He's deceiving her from the very beginning, taking advantage of her, believing that because he's strong and maybe he's looking at her that she's weak, then he will take advantage of the situation. This is a foul way. This is a foul way. These people like this, they're like parasites, sucking off of those people who are weak and taking advantage of their own strength and the weakness of others. And this is a foul way. So by doing this, this is an act of treachery and ghadr, and betrayal. And likewise, violating the rights and oppressing the woman in this manner and taking advantage of someone who is considered weaker than him. This is a foul way. This is a foul way. This is a foul way. A man, he should be a man and he should take care of this affair. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimuna ala shurutihim," that the Muslims, they abide by their conditions. So if a Muslim, he ever goes into a contract with anybody and there's conditions in that contract and he agrees to the requirements therein and the limits, it's an obligation and incumbent for him to abide by that to the best of his ability and to not violate that. And especially not to go into that contract with the intention of deception, with the intention of trickery. This is not allowed. This is from the ways of the hypocrites. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So how could he do this to a woman that she's going to spend her life with him? That she's going to take off her garment in front of him, her hijab, and have a relationship with him? And the likes like this. And her wali, who gives her hand to him in this manner like this as a protection and a guardian. This is a great act of betrayal. This is a great act of betrayal. And it's a great act of weakness likewise, a weakness in faith, a weakness in deen. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a great threat here. We see that the woman, she has rights, and her rights, they must be performed. And a man, he must give her her rights. And from those rights that she has is her right to the dowry. Is the right to the dowry. So if a person, he intended to not pay her in the beginning, this is a foul way. If a person, he intended to pay her, but then in the end, he never paid her. Likewise, this is a foul way without an excuse. without an excuse. They agreed on a dowry, and then maybe in the beginning he intended to pay her, but then after he got married with her, he just takes advantage of her, and he delays her and pushes her without any having any current concern or care for this and the likes like this. Then likewise, this is something that is not allowed. This is also taking the rights of a person and violating that. And violating that condition and this great right that she has. But if a person, he were to intend to pay that, and then some things happened and he was not able to pay that, inshallah, he will be excused. He will be excused. So the one who has an excuse, the one who had agreed to a particular dowry with a woman and the likes like this, and in his heart he is intending to pay that, and maybe he paid some of that, or maybe he did not pay some of that, but something happened and he died and he was not able to pay it and he had an excuse, inshallah, this threat here is not upon him. It's upon the one who intended to not pay that, or the one who died without paying that while he was in an act of treachery and deception without intending to give her her right. Without intending to give her her right. So the author, he says, after this, بَابُ الْإِشَارَةِ بِالسِّلَاحِ بَابُ الْإِشَارَةِ بِالسِّلَاحِ عَلَى وَجْهِ اللَّعَبِ, the chapter with regards to pointing weapons at somebody in a manner of joking. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the chapter with regards to pointing a weapon at somebody. Pointing a weapon at somebody in the manner of joking. In the manner of joking. He says, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا لَا يُشِيرَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِالسِّلَاحِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي لَعَلَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزِعُ فِي يَدِهِ يَنْزِعُ فِي يَدِهِ أَوْ يَنْزَغُ فِي يَدِهِ. And it's been narrated in both manners. فَيَقَعُ فِي حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ أَخْرَجَاهُ. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that one of you must not ever, لا يشيرن, and it's emphasized, one of you must not ever point a weapon at his brother. One of you must not ever point a weapon at his brother. And he taking, for example, a sword and pointing at him, or a knife and pointing at him, or anything with a sharp end and pointing at him, or a weapon like a pistol or a rifle, and the likes like this, or an arrow, or anything that can be considered a weapon as something dangerous. I need to point at him, meaning in the manner of joking. Even in the manner of joking, he's just joking and playing around. He pulled a sword out and put it in his face, or pulled a knife out and put it in his face, or pulled a pistol out. He said, oh, there's no bullets in it. He put it in his face. What, playing games like this, putting weapons in the face of a brother, putting weapons in the face of a Muslim. And whether he's a family member, this is even greater. But even a Muslim, your Muslim brother, it's not allowed to point a weapon at him. It's not allowed to point a weapon at him whatsoever. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, why? He said, because maybe Shaytan is going to cause him to slip, cause his hand to slip, and then he's going to fall into a pit from the pits of the hellfire. And he meaning maybe the person, he will do that, and Shaytan will do something, in the unseen, and cause him to slip, and then he will harm his brother on accident, and then he will be taken to account for that. Then he'll be taken to account for that. He put, for example, a weapon in his brother's face, and he's joking around, and next thing you know, it slips, and he pulled the trigger. Or he thought there was no bullet in it. Next thing you know, he's joking around, and then it goes off. Or he's playing with the weapon, pointing at his brother, and next thing you know, he slaps his hand, and then it goes off. Or he has a knife in his face, and then he tries, the shaitan come between the two, and he gets scared and moves. Or something happens, and then he harms his brother, actually. In the beginning, he's only joking. In the beginning, he's only joking. This is like on the meaning, وَيَنْزِعُ فَيَنْزِعُ يَنْزِعُ فِي يَدِهِ أَوْ يَنْزَغُ فِي يَدِهِ. And يَنْزَغُ means shaitan, then maybe he will decorate in his mind and beautify it in his heart to actually move upon that. And then he will act in a manner that is unlawful and harm his brother, whether on accident or intentionally. In the beginning, he's just joking. In the beginning, he's just joking in the likes like this. So this is likewise a great threat, clear what the author he's referring to. Wadi Muslimin also has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim. مَنْ أَشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِحَدِيدَةٍ فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَلْعَنُهُ حَتَّى يَرُدَّهَا وَإِنْ كَانَ أَخَاهُ مِنْ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ. He said that whoever pointed at his brother with iron, with steel, any with a sword or a knife or some iron or some steel, any weapon, anything that could harm him, whoever pointed that at his brother, then the angels, they will continue to curse him until he puts it down. The angels, they will continue to curse him until he puts it down. And he takes that iron or that steel away from pointing it at his brother, even if it was his brother from his father and his mother. Meaning even if they're very close blood brothers and they're just playing around. For example, many times the brothers or the sisters and the likes, they'll play around in the likes like this, and they're just joking, and they have that relationship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is the case. The angels will curse that person so long as he's doing that, holding that steel or that iron, and the likes in the face or pointing it at the brother, even if it's his brother from his father and his mother. The angels will curse him and continue to curse him until he stops doing that. An indication again that this is a major sin. And that there's a la'na here. This is a major sin. What did Tirmidhi wa hasanahu an Jabir radiyallahu anhu naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anta'ati as-sayfi maslulan. Also has been collected by Tirmidhi, and he declared it to be hasan, meaning acceptable. From the hadith of Jabir radiyallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited and he forbade that a person, he would hand another person the sword that when it's taken out of its sheath, any sword that is not in its sheath, is forbidden to hand the person the sword when it's not in its sheath, and when it's not in its case. The sword has to be in the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibited this. It has been narrated likewise authentically that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after prohibiting this, he seen some people doing that. He seen an individual handing another person a sword, and it's not in his case. It's not in the case. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became very angry, and he said, "May the curse of Allah be upon the one who does that. Did I not tell you that it's prohibited? Did I not tell you that it's prohibited?" So just to have the weapon out and opened, and then to hand it to a person like this in that manner with it open, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. All because of the great right of a Muslim, not to joke with him, not even just to simply to hand him the weapon in this manner. Rather, the weapon, it must be cased, it must be put in the sheath, it must be closed, it can't be open, it can't be ready to bring danger or to bring harm. Likewise, a knife, the same way, it has to be folded back. You can't open it up and give it like that. It has to be like this. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibited from carrying the arrows with the tips out. You have to hold them on the heads, so that if you're walking by, that they will not scrape somebody. They'll not scrape or poke somebody. All of this is with regards to clarification of the great rights, the sacred rights of the believers. Any to not harm them, not even on accident. We've seen previously in this work, likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yihilu lil muslimi an yurawwi'a musliman." It's not allowed for a Muslim to scare a Muslim. It's not allowed to even scare him, and even joking with him and scare him, to come behind him and scare him, to frighten him or to startle him. It's not allowed, or whenever he's sleeping, as we've seen in the narration, to startle him and wake him up while he's sleeping, and the likes like this. This is not allowed. The rights of the Islamic Brotherhood and the Brotherhood of Faith is something major. It's not allowed to put your brother in danger in this manner, not even handing him a sword when it's open. Right? There's a curse with regards to that. It must be closed. The knife, it must be closed. A person, he will not hand somebody a pistol, for example, when it's cocked and loaded. He will undo all that. He will not have it cocked and loaded and handed. Similar like this. And the meaning is that you will not put the this is dangerous like this. You will not hand the weapon to your brother whenever it's ready to be used. Rather, you hand it to him in a safe manner. If you're going to hand it to him. So this is with regards to handing it. There's a curse with regards to handing the weapon while it's not in the case. So how about the one who pointed at his brother? Even more severe and even more great. Wallahi, to ponder over these affairs, they're clarifying to us the sacred rights of the blood of a believer and the honor and the reputation of a believer. It's not allowed to harm him. It's not allowed to harm, not even to scare him. Not even to put him in danger unintentionally. Rather, his rights, they must be observed. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.